We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Praise the Lord. Once again, it's Take Time for Jesus. We're glad that the day has come, and the day is coming that Jesus is going to appear as in the second coming in the clouds of glory to take his bride. My friend, today we're living in perilous times, as I have said before, and I haven't changed, and the time hasn't changed. God's word hasn't changed, but it's laid it on my heart once again to bring our attention to all the things and the events that are happening around the world, to bring us to the mind that we can be assured that these things is part of the end time that we're now living in and the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're living in that day and hour that we're in that Jesus spoke to the apostles back in Matthew 24 when they asked him about the signs of what would be, and he began to tell them of the things that would be, to describe the destruction of the temple and various things. And these things, my friend, have come to pass, and we've been living on the edge of his return for a long time. And the things have begun to get worse, as he spoke about that tribulations is upon us, and they're getting worse all time. Take a notice to the way that things are happening, that reading in the scriptures, and when Jesus was telling the apostles there that the things were to come. You just take time, as I've often said, to read your Bible and study it. Then you don't have to take my word for it. You be done read what was wrote by the apostles of old, that the Lord gave them instructions by the Spirit, the Holy Ghost moved upon them, and they wrote it as they were given instructions. I know that many men in the world said, oh, some man wrote the Bible and everything in hopes of people would do good and everything, and I guess maybe that they are right in some sense of a way, but it was wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, that with the apostles and the prophets of old wrote it unto us to explain to us of the things that what God does hate, what he's not going to put up with, and the things that were in that his grace, that we're saved through faith in the finished works at Calvary. And when he began to tell them there of the things that was going to happen, we can rest assured that they are happening now in yours and my time. So I want you to think about it as you get your Bible, if it's possible, and go to Matthew, the 24th chapter, then over to the 22nd chapter of the book of Luke. And we're going to try to bring forth something other here that might enlighten you if you believe what the Bible says and read it for yourself, and you'll understand and see where we're at today with everything that has happened. Not only here in the United States we having problems, but the problems of the world, and we need to be assured that that's what the scripture is talking about. So as we go to prayer, we pray one for another, as God would help us with the understanding, and that he would enlighten us by the reading of his word, and that it would come to know it and to understand it in a better view of it, and realize that it is the word of God and its truth, and it will be fulfilled. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that day that you put on the robe of flesh and came and died for our sins, that whereby that on cross of Calvary there, that you took our place, taking our sins and iniquities upon you, and by thy stripes we're healed. We thank you for that day, but the day that you told them that you would go and you would raise again in the third day, and so it has been and it is, and you're alive forevermore. So I just praise you and thank you today for this opportunity that I might speak upon your behalf and lift up your name to those that would hear, that have ears to hear, that they would hear what the Word of God has to say, that it would enlighten us and help us all, that we could come to a better understanding and get closer to thee, for we know the days are shortened and the days is coming that we're in, that things are going to be worse in the world because of sin and iniquity and is abounding more and more each day. So we just thank you for the opportunity, and we hope that those that will have ear to hear will hear and just give you praise and honor, because it's my desire, my heart, to win souls for thy kingdom and to lift up the name of our Lord and Savior. And that's our heart's desire. We pray thy will be done. Father, we give you the praise and the glory for all that will be accomplished, and we be careful not to take any for ourselves, because you give your glory to no man, though a lot of people tries to accept it. But I give you the praise and thank you for your salvation and righteousness. As we endeavor to bring forth your word, we pray that you would touch the ears of the hearers and the mind that they would believe and receive, and we'll give you the praise and the glory for everything in Jesus' precious name. My wife's got something other here for you, so a lot of preachers and wives get all bumfuzzled, but we're in this together. She's my helpmeet, and I just want her to have the time here and pay attention and listen to what she has to read. I believe you'll like it. Praise the Lord.
Well, I just praise the Lord again for this opportunity to lift up the name of Jesus. I am not ashamed of that name. And I thank the Lord that we still have the freedom here in the United States where we can lift up his name. And I know I feel like the day is coming whenever we'll be done like the apostles and everything. It says, I charge you not to preach or say anything in that name. But I just thank God that we can still lift up the name of Jesus. There's no other name you can be saved by except the name of Jesus. And I want to share with you this afternoon what the Lord has laid on my heart concerning the end time. A lot of people don't believe it where we are, but I believe that Jesus is up there on a cloud and just waiting to make our entrance. There's so many things happening in the world that happened before in Sodom and Gomorrah and everything. And he's probably going to say one of these days, I've had enough of it. But I just thank the Lord again for this time that we can share with you what the Lord has laid on my heart. And if you have something that you would like for me to share with other people, you send it to me to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And I'll be glad to share it with you, with others. I am always looking for things that I can share. And so if you have something, I'd be glad to share it with the world. And or you can email us at ecompton31@yahoo.com, and it'll be greatly appreciated. But this afternoon I want to share with you a little tract that I have here, The Day of the Lord is Coming, in Acts 17:30-31. God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. This is a command from God, not to be lightly disregarded. It is universal, for it includes all men, women too, everywhere. It is a solemn warning that the day is coming when every person will be judged for his personal relationship to Christ. And the pledge of its fulfillment is the fact of his resurrection, for Christ did not die in vain. Salvation is personal and individual. Jesus did not die to save society, but to save sinners. He was made in the likeness of man, that he might take the place of each one of us upon the cross and bear the penalty of our personal guilt. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." The historic fact that Jesus came once in accordance with prophecy is proof that he will come again in accordance with prophecy, for both Advents are included in the same prophecy. 7 centuries before Jesus was born, Isaiah prophesied that he would come to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. You can find that in Isaiah 61 and 2. Isaiah saw the two Advents aligned like distant mountain peaks and could not distinguish the time interval between them. But when Jesus read his divine commission from his prophecy in the synagogue at Nazareth, he stopped with the words, "The acceptable year of the Lord," and he closed the book. The day of vengeance awaits his second advent, when the world will be purged by fire. At his second advent, Christ is coming for his own, that they may escape God's judgment on sin. For our God is a consuming fire. The present interval between these two advents is a day of grace in which we live and choose our eternal destiny. His first advent brought salvation to sinners. He's coming again to take out of the world those who in their lifetime obeyed God's command to repent and receive Jesus as their personal Savior. God's promise to believers in every age since Calvary is in 2 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." There can never be world peace because men must first be reconciled to God before they can be reconciled to one another. "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." The world system is so essentially evil because Satan is the prince of this world. Therefore, it is written in 1 John 2:15, "If any man love the world, the love of God is not in him." Christ is the prince of peace, for we are reconciled to God through the blood of the cross that covers our sin. Salvation in Christ does not come by mortal assent to his teaching or accepting of a creed, but by personal experience in his indwelling presence. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new." Jesus also said in John 3:3, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." We are born into this world individually, one by one. We are likewise reborn spiritually, one by one. It is a transforming experience whereby we go to Calvary with our Lord and henceforth his life from the standpoint of the cross. In his final prayer in the garden on the night of his betrayal, Jesus said, in John 17:9, "I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are mine." Christ is the hope of the world in this age of grace, while he tarries and the Comforter abides. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that's Acts 4:12. When God commands and the appointed day is sure, in which all will be judged by their relationship to Jesus Christ, the question of supreme importance for each of us is, will I be found on the victory side of the cross when Christ returns for his own? Are you going to be on the victory side, or are you going to be on the other side? I just pray this afternoon that you will accept the Lord as your Savior. And as I say every week when I close, today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may not be yours to behold, or mine either. Today is a day of repentance. Jesus said, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So I just praise God again for this time that we have had to bring what God's laid on my heart. And if you have anything you'd like to share, just send it to me. Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. Or if you would like to help us, it would be appreciated. And you can email us at ecompton31@yahoo.com. May the Lord bless you. Here's Brother Earl.
Yes, praise the Lord. My friends, we are living in some times of troubles around the world. It ain't just with our present situation here in the United States. It's bad enough, but it's going to get worse, according to the scriptures. When the apostles wanted to know and ask the Lord what would be the signs of his coming, as he sat there, and he told them to be aware that many should come in his name and everything. And we know in the past that there has been some that claimed to be the Messiah, and we know that what happened to them in Texas, and the one that carried the people over there in around over there in Africa somewhere or another, and give them all poison stuff. And my friend, today we need to realize that the Word of God is absolutely what we need to go by, and not be deceived by every wind of doctrine, but get with the place that we're in, that God would lead you to go to, where there is sound doctrine and you can hear the Word of God, and not being trifled off with some rabbit trail somewhere or another that you can't follow, and be fooled by these prosperity preachers, and we these that saying, if you want to go to heaven, raise your hand and repeat after me, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, and you're on the way. The Bible says to repent. There's no scripture to back up them people saying that, so it would come out of their own mouth, and it's not scriptural for that kind of stuff. Jesus told us how to pray, and it was the Lord's Prayer that he taught us. Our Heavenly Father, and it starts out like that. We want to understand, my friends, that these days that we're living in is what Jesus was telling the apostles there. By reading the 24th chapter of Matthew and going from there and studying it and going to other parts of the scriptures, you will find that we're living now in the days that Jesus spoke about. He said, for there shall come in my name, saying I am Christ, and have deceived many. We've got those things are happening. My friend, we need to realize today that Jesus plainly tells them how his would come, and therefore in the clouds of glory, as the lightning shines out of the east even unto the west, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. So someone comes up and tells you that they are the Christ, and it didn't, don't believe it. Just go on and leave them alone, because they're nothing but a false prophet, a false teacher. So as he began to tell them, he says that these things, nations shall rise against nations, and kingdoms against kingdoms, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places, and all these things are the beginning of sorrow. My friend, if you'll just take notice of what the world is, the news around the world, in the newspaper, the television, and Nowadays, you can get it on the computer of when earthquakes come along and all the other things that are happening. The wars that we've had for seem like forever, never one get to be what you would say peace. If it may be, they thought they had peace when World War II was over. That was going to end it all. But you see, the Korea and outfit broke out and Vietnam and all these other things. And people are going to be that way as long as the devil has control of this world. And he is the prince of this world, the god of this world, if you want to say it that way. And his job is to seek to kill and destroy by whatever means that God will allow him to use. Now, God has got him under control, and he can't do no more than God will let him. But the devil cannot make you do anything. He can put it into your mind to do something, but you have to do it yourself. So that old thing is the devil made me do it. It don't hold water. But my friend, if you'll only obey what the scripture has to say, you won't be going down a rabbit trail and just skipping along through life without knowing something other about what the Word of God has to say, if you will read it and see for yourself. Many people have come along and said, no, it's not going to be this and it's not going to be that, but the scripture says differently. We see that how these things are happening with Syria over there. It's people against people. They got a divided nation there. The good wants the bad, or the bad wants to be good, or whatever. But we know that they're not happy with this. And I don't think that no nation is going to be happy living under a dictator. And we've got problems here in the United States. We need to get it resolved, but we are trying to resolve the problems of the world instead of taking care of our own. They want to go over there and bomb them people for that putting that poison gas out, and I don't agree with it. But nevertheless, who's to say they drop one of them missiles on the whole stockpile and make a bigger mess than what there is? But yet and still, they want to go over there and as a president, look at these children, all them children that was killed with that stuff. How about us? They're here in the United States legalizing abortions and everything and killing the baby still in the womb and everything, and it's against God's principle, but yet and still they make it legal. And they come along, and God looks down upon that Sodom and Gomorrah and that homosexual and immoral stuff and says it's an abomination in his sight. And then they go and make laws for it. All the nations are going for it and everything, for marriage, same sex and everything. Even to Queen Elizabeth over there, she sanctioned it here not long ago, and other nations. My friend, this is what God's speaking about. As in the days of Noah, these things went on. There was sin running rampant and everything, all kinds of stuff going on. And today, he speaks about the time of Noah and the days of Lot. Lot was in there vexed with their filthy conversations. And it was all eat up with this immoral things around about. And God put an end to that. And he's holding this down, and he's trying to get people to understand. He's going to put an end to it one of these days, and it's going to be destroyed by fire as Sodom and Gomorrah was. God is tired of this here, and the sins of the world is becoming to get a stink in his nostrils, and one day the angels are going to step out and put his one foot on the land and one foot on the sea and said, time shall be no more. You won't have no more time left to get ready if you're not ready. As my wife said, today is the day of salvation. It's time to get ready now. Don't wait until the light goes out and go groping in the dark trying to find salvation or the light. The light is the day. The Jesus is still reaching out to the people today. But it's going to come a time when it's going to be too late. When it's too late, it's too late. And you should know that if you got any concept of what too late is. When it comes to be too late, there is nothing you can do but just suffer the consequences of whatever it will be. My friend, it's time we take a notice. We noted how NASA said they're going to Well, tonight they're supposed to shoot another thing up from somewhere or another in Virginia to go up there and mess around with God's domains up there on the moon, trying to find out if man can live up there. I don't believe it. And then they come up with all these things that this telescope that he put up there comes to fulfill the bet that when he said knowledge would increase and there would come to be these things. Well, look about us. We used to ride horses and go about in wagons. Now we can be lucky to make 15, 20 miles a day. Now they can go around the world in just a matter of a short time, running a thousands or better miles an hour in the jets and things. Automobiles are running. Some of them is said they can run two or 300 miles an hour. My friend, today we've got all that knowledge. The knowledge that is increased in man that to go to the moon and these places, and man thinks he's going to get all the way up there and everything, and he's going to open up domains up there. That's high-minded, and the Bible speaks about they would be high-minded. And you can't get no higher than that. The devil said there one time that he was going to rise above and build his throne up above the kingdom of God, but he was cast out. So who do you think we are? Can we even think about going up there? He said even if he make their homes or their in the tops of the mountain, he will cast them down. So who do we think we are that we can go up there and establish new worlds and get out of this old one? We'd mess it up, even if it were possible. He'd get up there, and man, with all of his gripes and grumbles, he'd mess it up too. That's why I said that some people, they said, I wished I could find the perfect church. Well, when you got there or I got there, it wouldn't be perfect no more, because we're still human and we're going to have disgruntles about something or another. It has been and it will be until the Lord comes and puts it all right and puts an end to all of this sin and adultery and fornication, drunkenness and killing and all these things. Think about it. It's probably seen it in the news there how this man was bold enough to go into three different places around here and beating up on the people and raping the women and everything, and then leaving and going to another place. Well, he got his reward today. They killed him because of his immorality, because of his sins. The devil got him all hepped up on something or other, and he wanted to do it, and he done it. And now he suffered the consequences. Well, he's probably in hell with the devil now, if that's possible. But nevertheless, all these things is a fulfillment of God's word when he said that these is just the beginning of sorrow. My friend, we look at this situation over there with Syria. We look at the situation in Iraq and with over there in Afghanistan with these people. Their life means nothing to them because they've been taught by a false teaching and doctrine that if they kill somebody they call an infidel, which would be some of us there, that they'd kill him. They'd give a river of honey and seven maidens there. But I want you to think about it, my friend. That man has been deceived, but them people that's teaching all that stuff, they don't take bombs and strap on to them and go into the marketplaces and ride down the road in a car loaded up with explosive. They know better, but they can get people that don't know no better and teach them this doctrine and everything and indoctrinate them and fill them full of all this stuff, and they'll go do it for them. Just like the way that the world has been all along. There's somebody is going to be smart enough to talk somebody into doing something that he wants done but ain't got enough of man about him to do it himself or don't want to get into trouble by doing it. But we look at the situation today and we see all these things happening. It's just the beginning of sorrow. We've got people here. This nation is divided between the Democrats and the Republicans, and none of them can get straight on anything. One wants to do it his way, and another party wants to do it their way. Instead of them coming together and doing the good as what it was set in order to by our forefathers for the commonwealth of the people, for them to be prosperous and do what's right, But now they've got to come up, and the Democrats in this one corner and the Republicans in this, like two boxers in there, and they go to fisticuffs and want to whip the other one and won't nobody agree on anything. You've got it going on. And this is the way that the problem is in the world today, that the enemy of God's people, the devil, is trying to fight, put on the gloves, and come to destroy, steal, and kill. But my friend, one day, he as well as all them that follow him is going to be thrown into outer darkness, where the scripture says it'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And I don't care how much money you give the Pope or the priest or whatever to pray somebody about a pregatory, it ain't going to happen. Once you're there, it's there. If you just read your Bible, if you get into hell, you're going to be there for eternity. If you get in the presence of God, you're going to be there eternity. As the rich man, as Jesus told the rich man about a Lazarus and the rich man dying, Lazarus was bore off by the angels into the bosom of Abraham, but the rich man died and was buried. But in hell, he lifted up his eyes and seen a Lazarus afar off in Abraham's bosom. Now, we know that Abraham is not God, but he was a man of faith, and the children of Israel claimed him to be. They were the seed of Abraham, and whereby that they thought that was all they needed was to call upon Abraham. But my friend, Jesus Christ is the only name that you can call on and be saved. But the rich man in hell, he lifted up his eyes and he asked Abraham to let Lazarus come and tip his finger into the water and touch his tongue, for he was tormented in those flames. Now, you can take and read the Bible for yourself and believe it or not believe it. But once you're there, you're there. And putting a light on the cemetery, in the place it on the cemetery for them to see their way out of the darkness of the cemetery, it's a bunch of mess. My friend, when you're there, you're there. The end of the world is coming. Now, if you want to be in the presence of God, you got to repent. Be godly sorry of your sins. Not just raise your hand and merely just make a motion of it. You got to have a change of heart. You got to do a different thing. He didn't come to save you in your sins. He come to save you from your sins. He died for you and I on Calvary's cross, and he's coming back to judge the world of its unrighteous ways and its disobedience and everything. And them that have not accepted him as their personal Savior on that day of God, it's going to be dark and gloomy for them. But on them that have repented and allowed God to come into their life and they follow after him, it's going to be a day of rejoicing. But think about it. The Bible says that there will be many that say, Lord, we've done all these wonderful things in your name. But he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. Simply because they're trying to use the name, like the man with the seven sons of Stephen went out there and said, in the name of Jesus, of whom Paul preaches, trying to cast out the devil. And the devil told him, he said, Paul I know and Jesus I know, but who are you? And they jumped on him, sent him naked down the road. These things are going to be taking place, my friend. They have and they will be. There's nothing new under the heavens, but God is sitting up there now, looking down upon the sinful world that this is, abiding the time and giving everybody a day of opportunity to come in one day at a time. Tomorrow none of us may not see it tomorrow. With all this here nuclear stuff that's around in the world, and some idiot got a yen to get mad about something and push the button, it could be trouble and all around, my friend, and that's what's going to happen here one of these days. Something other is going to set somebody off, and then they're going to come to the place that we're in, that chaos is going to reap over the world. It's already making a good start. All these wars and all these rumors of wars, kingdoms against kingdoms, nations against nations, and all of them is just the beginning of sorrow. We got to realize that the word of God is truth. You got to believe what it says. It wasn't wrote by some man that just come along and wanted to write it to tell people how to live, to be good, to keep down sin. Wrote to them that was sinners by the apostles of old and the prophets to let us know what God had to say about the sins of the world and the soul of man that sins, he said, will perish. It will die. Because it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. But, my friend, those that have born again by the water and of the Spirit of God, and baptized in his wonderful name, and accepted him as their Savior, death is not going to have no hold on them. The grave ain't going to hold them down, because when the Lord comes and the trumpet of God sounds, as it was the time when the five foolish virgins and the five wise ones, notice now it said that they were all virgins, but while they waited for the call that the bridegroom was to come, they waited and they slept and they slumbered, you might say, but five of them wise enough to carry extra oil, but the five foolish ones carried no oil, so their lamps went out. My friend, sin and disobedience and not being prepared to cause your lamp to go out or your light not to be shining, as he said that we are the light of the world. If we uphold this name of Jesus and bring him into focus to the people that we know and live the life that they would see Christ in us, the hope of glory, then we're letting our light shine out. But if it ain't got no Spirit of God in it, it ain't going to do much shining. It's going to do everything the devil wants it to do. But the five wise, when they sound, come, behold, the bridegroom cometh, they went out, went in, and while the others went to get the oil for the lamps, the door was shut, and they come back, knocked on the door, but they didn't get in. And that's going to be the way it's going to be with the coming of the Lord. If them that makes it is got it prepared and live the life is going to make it. Them that have fooling themselves and thinking that this and one thing or another, they got it all made out just right, they liable to be fooled. They liable to stand short and not be able to enter in. My friend, today is the day of salvation. Put off till tomorrow, you may not see it. I may not see it. And a lot of you out there are younger than I am under the sound of my voice, and it may be a few of you older, but I done got to be quite aged. But my friend, today, it's only by the cause of the grace of God and his blessings that I'm even alive, because I've been through some tough times, but he's carried me through some tough times. He's never let nothing come upon me that he couldn't rescue me from. But I've been through some tough times. But I thank God he seen me through it. He made a way for me. But he was the way. Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And he spared me. But when we look in there, in the about the things and the signs and everything, that we know that NASA now is claiming that they're going to fix up in sometime or another in the very near future. They're going to try to lasso one of those meteorites, they call it, and drag it to the moon. Now, can you imagine that? How dumb can somebody be? I don't know. Education has been a lot of problem with some of these people. Scientists has been trying to prove that there was no God, and God didn't have nothing to do with creation and everything. But every time they try to prove and disapprove of it, they find out that there's proof and they're liars, but they won't admit it. The first time they ever shot one of them things up, they look for a window and they come up with a computer and it come up a day short. But a young man remembered what his mother taught him about scripturally, about the day the sun stood still and backed up 10 degrees, and they all figured it all up in it. They got the winder. It come up and give them the day to shoot this thing up, and it went into the orbit. My friend, God's got all of these things all planned out. He's got the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof. He's got it all in the palm of his hand. The heavens is his throne, and the earth is his footstool. He measured the water in his palm of his hand, and he makes a way through the sea, and he has his way in a whirlwind. So what kind of a man would be foolish enough to think that he can do greater than God can do. God has not got to go in the plan that they're going to lasso these things and drag them anywhere. I think they're going to make a final mistake. They're going to find out that there is a God that's not going to allow this. I'm surprised he allowed them to get up there as far as they have so far. But he just wants them to fool themselves. The high-mindedness that he spoke about, that Peter spoke out and wrote about, the high-minded, they've got so high-minded, they're running to and fro and all these things. High-minded, you can't get higher than that. They built these skyscrapers and people said that was part of it. But now they've gone to the moon. Now tonight they're shooting up another rocket to go to the moon and examine all of the things that they claim and find out how it was created and I guess and see if man can live them. They'll be trying to sell your property there first thing you know, I guess. Some of these real estate, these crooked people in this world. And our government, they ain't helping matters because they think that they got the world by the tail and swinging it around and around. So we're so divided in what is and what should be until we're in trouble ourselves. The whole world is in trouble, but simply because they're trying to defy God, saying there is no God, taking the prayer out of our school, killing our babies in the mother's womb, and it's all legal according to the law. But God's law says it's all sin, and he's the one that's going to have the final judgment. These judges and these lawmakers and these doctors that doing all this thing stands in jeopardy. But because the God of gods is going to make a judgment one day, and they're going to have to answer for all the sins that they've done, just like you and I. When we repent, our sins is taken away. He cast them behind us, no longer to be remembered. But you got to keep in touch with God. You got to keep it there. You just can't say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and go on and do your same old thing you've been doing all the time and expect to make it. It ain't going to happen, my friend. I'm here to tell you, it don't work like that. God requires all men everywhere to repent. Except you repent and believe that he is him. In other words, that he said, believe that I am he. You will die in your sins. Now, I know he was speaking to that bunch of Pharisees and scribes over there at the time in Jerusalem. They should have known, but they wasn't even right in their own heart, but they wanted people to think they were. But they were fooling the people. They went around with their long robes and their sad faces, went around and tried to make people think that they were so good and natural. And Jesus said, you can whitewash the sepulcher. In other words, you can paint it white and make it look good and white on the outside, but inside is dead man's bones. And that's the way he was speaking to them, my friend. He didn't go to the synagogues and into the temple to get his apostles. He went out there by the seashore there and found fishermen and even a tax collector. And he got Judas and he said he chose the 12 and one of them was a devil. He knew it, but somebody was going to betray him. And Judas was the one that done it. For 30 pieces of silver, he sold our Savior, and therefore, and it was all wrote down. It was in the beginning. It was all planned out. It was in God's sovereign plan that these things would happen. It was wrote in the book of Psalms. It was wrote about it, the 30 pieces of silver. It wasn't nothing that he just come up with there. It was fulfilling the word of God and the prophecy. And this is, it's going to be that it's going to be fulfilled when Jesus said, these things that we see now that are happening is just the beginning of sorrow, men's hearts failing them, and they're running to and fro, and they're doing all of these things, and sin is running rampant, as it did in the days of Noah, and God got tired of it, and he sent a flood, and only Noah and his family got out, 8 souls. I don't know how many was on the face of the earth at that time, but I believe there was quite a few. But nevertheless, only 8 was saved from the flood. Now, I hope there'll be many, but many more than that are saved when the wrath of God is poured out. Oh, I hope you are, my friend. I hope when we get together in the kingdom of God, you can relate to me and say, I heard you on the internet and I repented, and we can rejoice with it. Oh, my friend, it would be a rejoicing time. But God, in all of his sovereignty, he's going to judge this world. And through all of that, and if we're not repented, if we don't come to him as we should, as he said, repent and be baptized in his name, that's when the church as we know it today was set in order. And it wasn't a denomination. We've got so split up in the church work today. All these denominations are going this way and going that way. You got to belong to this one. You got to repent and belong to Jesus Christ, my friend. The denomination is not going to get you into the kingdom of God. You can't say I'm a Christian and fool God. You may fool me or some others, but you ain't going to fool God. So that your denomination and saying I'm this and I'm that. Paul made the statement there one time that some of them were saying they are Paul and they are Apollos and everything. He says, one plants, another waters, but it takes God to give the increase. I'm trying my best, my friend, to plant into your mind the things at which God has laid on my heart for your soul's benefit and to help you that your blood won't be required at my hands as being, as he said to Ezekiel, a watchman on the wall. If they die in their sins and you don't warn them, then their blood will be required at your hand. But if you warn them and they die in their sins, their blood will be on their own head. So I'm telling you, my friend, you need to get it right. If you don't know God as your personal Savior or got a friend there, you need to talk to him and tell him about the things that has happened. Now, in the Luke, the 22nd chapter, in the 21st verse, he said, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. And he was speaking about Jerusalem, and they were. And we know that Jerusalem be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And that time is just about to come to an end, my friend. And he said, and there in the 25th verse, he said, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexation, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for the fear of the things coming upon the world. My friend, these things are happening today. We're looking at the things that God had wrote in the book 2,000 years ago, and they're coming to pass. Now, you can believe it or not believe it. I can't make you believe it. God won't make you believe it. But in the end, if you don't believe it and accept him as your Lord and Savior, when he says, depart from me, it's going to be weeping and wailing, but it's going to be too late. You wish then you had a call upon the Lord while you had the opportunity. When Noah built the ark, he done it on the design that God gave him. When it was finished, he preached 120 years and telling them about the raft of the water was going to come. There's going to come a flood. They no doubt mocked at him, as some of you out there may be listening saying, mocking me. And I'm sure somebody has. But nevertheless, they mocked him. But when he got the ark finished and everything was there, ready to go, God spoke to Noah. And Noah was outside the ark, but he told Noah, he said, come into the ark, Noah. That's what you got to do. You got to come into the Lord Jesus Christ. He's standing there available. He's knocking on your heart's door, but he wants you to open it up. He ain't going to just come in and barge into your life and sit down and make you serve him. He wants you to be volunteer. That's why he made us a free moral agent. Why he gave us that thought to where we could choose you this day to whom you will serve. If you choose the Lord, you need to repent in order to choose him. If you want to go with the devil and stay with him, just don't do nothing, because you're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. God made provision for the salvation of your soul. But if you're willing to go to the place that the devil is going to be fastened up in the end, hell has enlarged itself in order to accommodate them that wants to go. And if you're one of them that wants to go, the devil will gladly let you go. But in the end, he's going to be fastened up with you there too, and he's going to be in trouble just like you will be. But my friend, today is the day of salvation. We need to understand that God is sovereign. He can do without you and I. But honey, I'm here to tell you, I can't make it without him. I can't even have a day's breath without him, still warm from his nostrils. And I appreciate it and thank him for it. The many perils that he's brought me out of, I got to thinking about him, and I just praise God and thank him for what he has carried me through and brought me and pulled me out of the clutches of death two or three times and spared me and brought me to the place that we're in that I'm acquainted with him and know him. I talk to him all the time, and he lets me know that he is mine and I'm his. Been born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, accepted him as my personal Savior, and not boasting on myself, but I'm boasting about what Jesus has done for me. And what he has done for me, he will do for you, because he has no respect of person, even to the hardened criminal. If he can call upon the Lord from the sincerity of his heart and repent with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, he said he wouldn't cast him out. And that goes for you and I and all that would call upon the name of the Lord. He made it available for us, salvation, through his death on the cross. He took yours in my place, died in our stead. He paid our sin debt, a debt that you and I owed and had contributed much to the cup of bitterness. But he took it on him, all of our sins and iniquities, nailed them to the cross, and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he provided salvation. And he rose the third day, and he's alive forevermore, my friend. Don't let nobody tell you that he doesn't exist. Don't let nobody fool you into running off down a trail somewhere or another to lead you in destruction. Read your Bible. Let me encourage you. Let me implore you to read your Bible. Find out what it has to say and see where you stand with God. And if you're standing on the edge, kind of just ask God to let you get in the middle. Oh, because I want you to understand the Bible says that if the righteous scarcely make it in, where will the sinner and the ungodly appear? They're going to appear in destruction. If the righteous going to scarcely make it in, my friend, we need to have all the righteousness that we can possibly get from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet, and it's got to come through Jesus Christ, our Savior. It ain't going to come through wishy-washing around. The government can't give it to you. Nobody else can. Jesus came and died for it. He paid yours and my sin debt. Nobody else has done it for us, but he did. God himself put on the robe of flesh and came and died in yours and my place on Calvary's cross. A cruel way of dying, but that was the Roman way. But it was cruel. But he suffered through all of that. And he came and was buried, come alive, and now he's alive forevermore. He's waiting upon you to repent, that he can reach out and touch you and bless you and bring you into the things and fulfill the promise that he said he would be a God to you, and you would be a servant to him or a child to him. And the scripture teaches that he gave us the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, and gave us power to become sons of God. Read your Bible. Let me encourage you. Read your Bible, my friend. Study it. Then you'll know what the Bible has to say, and there's nobody that can tell you anything else if you believe what it says. You got to believe. You got to have faith. Every man born into this world has got a measure of faith, but if you don't use it, it goes to bad. I see our time is almost gone, but write to us. Send us an email that all the address and all has been given to you. And like my wife said, if we can read something other that would help somebody else, if you send it to us, we'll be glad to do so. So we just thank God for you, and may God richly bless you. Pray for us as we pray for one another. Father, we thank you, and we give you the praise and the glory for all things. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecomptn31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first